Isn't it good to hear somebody who has a different sound? To hear young people make noise does not interrupt me. If it interrupts y'all, shame on you. Okay? It's nice to have life. Most of you know that I generally try to start a lesson with something that may be a little humorous. You're not going to get that today. But I do want to take just a minute. We have, as Mickey had already mentioned, we have quite a few visitors with us today. Sarah has the voice with her, right? Just as sweet. And who's with you?
My granddaughter and family, and my great youngest great granddaughter, number 13.
Oh. All the way from the foreign country of Austin. We're glad you're all with us today. I'm not sure just how you'll receive the thoughts I have to present to you today. Those of you who were in class this morning, we've been talking about keys to making the church grow. And as I, last night, got home and had time to sit down, I am so thankful that my life, by some people's standards, is pretty busy. Spent last night with a couple like many who were having some problems in their marriage. So I got home kind of late. It was time to look over my lessons for today and be sure that I was ready. Have you ever looked at something you were studying and it troubled you? You ever been troubled? Well, the lesson for our class this morning was about what we need to be and how we need to get together as leaders, the image the church needs to put forward. And I had a great sermon that y'all were going to get to hear. But you'll have to get it later. Because the thoughts kept rolling in my mind. Troubled me. I wanted to sing that song as last night as I lay sleeping, but I had to sing as I lay not sleeping. So I thought. And I thought. And so many thoughts came into my mind. And so today I want to share with you some of those thoughts. And I hope that they will be received as they are intended. As you go back throughout all of Scripture, God has called us as human beings throughout our life to stop and take a look at where we are, at where we've been, and more importantly, where we're going. I know that some of you, not me, but I know some of you will get in a car and you'll be driving and all of a sudden you'll say, where am I? You ever been there? You ever wondered how you got where you were? Well, that's for those of you that are getting old. But Paul tells us, as he writes to the Corinthians, that it is important that we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not. Every day of my life, I am privileged to meet people who are not in the faith. How sad it is to see people You are lost without hope. If you're a Christian today, I encourage you more today than ever before to value what you found in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. The peace that passeth understanding. The looking forward to something yet ahead that will be more wonderful than you can ever imagine. Words cannot describe what it will be like to hear the King of all the ages say, "Well done. Enter thou into the joys of life. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of some wonderful things. Come on in." And so as I begin this morning, if I know my heart, I don't want people to miss heaven. But the question is, and the thought that I want to share with you this morning, is even sometimes as we go through life, doing things that are good, visiting, teaching, talking to people who are interested in Jesus and the gospel, trying to take care of the sick, maybe the Lord tells us sometimes, stop a minute and look at why you're doing what you do. Listen to some of the things the Bible tells us. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus looked at us and said, take a look at yourself. How many of you know people worse than you are? Come on now. How many of you know people worse than you are? At least in our judgment, right? But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, when you look at other people, what do you see? I remember the cartoon that was done years ago on this particular teaching of Jesus, where he showed a drawing of a man who had a two before sticking out the side of his head. And he was bending over a man who had a speck of sawdust in his eyes, and he was trying to get the sawdust out of his neighbor's eye. And Jesus said, that's exactly what Jesus said. You can't help this man until you first go have this two before removed from your vision. Now I love what Jesus went on to say. He didn't say, don't help your neighbor with his sawdust, but get the beam out first. Then you can see clearly to help him. Other things the Bible teaches us. A few verses later there in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, be careful. Judge not, that you be not judged. Again, as I was looking at the class this morning, how easy is it for us to see the fallacies in others, the inconsistencies, and miss our own? Are we sometimes too judgmental of other people, and maybe not enough of ourselves? All through the Bible, God is telling us the key to your walk with God is that you take time to look within. And sometimes we can fill ourselves with so many activities. They may all be good, but we can fill ourselves with so many external things that if we look within, There may be emptiness. There may be something amiss. And so we're taught, as I said over and over again, to ask the question, where am I? I know that a day is coming when I, like all men before me, will leave the walks of this life. I don't know about you, but I thought I would never live to be 35. So I've lived on a lot of borrowed time. And as I get older, if I'm not careful, I get to thinking, it's going to be a long time before I leave here. And I hope it is. But at the same time, regardless of how long it is, we are reminded, both by scripture and by song, that what is your life but a vapor? It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. We're like the grass of the world or the land. We spring up, we're cut down, and we're gone. Man that is born of woman, Job said, is a few days and full of sorrow. And then we fly away. Only in the moments that we live upon this earth can we do anything that can have an eternal effect. Riches, houses, lands, cattle, name them all the things that people possess. And Jesus encountered a man who seemed to embody all of that. He woke up one day and his business had just flourished. He was a farmer. And his crops had produced abundantly. And he found that he couldn't even store all that he had made or grown. And so he tore down the old ones and he built him new ones, bigger ones. And filled them up. And then he sat back, can't you see him? And said to himself, so, eat, drink, and be merry. You've got it made. You've arrived. And Jesus said, there came a voice that night and said, fool. You ever heard that voice? And I don't mean literally. But think about it. Have you ever asked yourself where the Lord sees me? Does he see me as a spiritual giant? Or does he see me as a fool? For he said to this man, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then look at all these things. Who's it going to be? And some of you have lived long enough to know that much of what people live that they've sacrificed and worked a lifetime for doesn't do anything but cause problems to people they leave it to. You ever known families that fuss and fought over what's left? I'm still mad over mine. I remember telling my grandmama, there's only one thing I want you to give me when you die. She had a glass bowl, a mixing bowl, pottery bowl, that she mixed everything in. I don't know how many years she'd had it, but she had held it in the same place every time. The thumbprint was completely worn through the top. All of her fingers were worn into the sides of the bowl. I wanted it. And Grandmama said I could have it. I only got home to find out one of my cousins had taken it. And let his kids go play with it and broke it. Been mad ever since. Things that we have that are physical and temporal, they pass with using. So, Here are the thoughts I want to leave with you. I know that I have petitioned the Lord on many different occasions. And I have even said, and I think as sincerely as I knew how, Lord, I want to be a good man. I want to be your man. I want to be what you want me to be. And as I sat last night, the realization came back. You hadn't arrived. How many times do we think we're doing what God wants? We've got it all figured out. You ever been there? If we're honest, and we do as we're taught and we examine ourselves, sometimes we have to realize that some of the things we may have struggled with for so many years just keep on coming back. Though I joked about that, God has never completely removed from me the burden of a temper. Some things I just let make me mad. I said, let me. And I say things, do things that I regret. And I've even said, on occasions, made a fool of myself. You ever been there? On occasions, I get aggravated with people. Any of you ever been aggravated? I don't like it when I think people misjudge me, impugn my motives. And if I'm not careful, I let those things make me bitter and cause me to be little and petty and rob me of being what God wants me to be and having the peace that He has offered me. And sometimes I don't pray like I ought to. I get to thinking, as I look around at all the people that I have the privilege to come in contact with, and how many of you know this to be true? How many times do you tell somebody, pray for me? Oh, I'm praying for you. If we prayed for everybody we said we did, we'd be busy, wouldn't we?
We should.
Hmm? And don't you love this one? Lord, I can't remember everybody's name, so just bless them all, whatever they need. But that's not what He says. In the book of James, in James chapter 5, here's what He tells us. Pray one for another, that you might be healed. Are we taught to pray for our enemies? Absolutely. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we may pray that our enemies get a raw deal. But what we need is for people to see in us a genuine spirit that says, regardless of what you have ever said, done, or thought of me, I love you and I want you to go to heaven. If we miss that, we have missed being God's man, God's woman. We're taught not to worry. And I confess to you, that's not a strong suit of mine. Anxiety. You ever spend those lonely, sleepless nights fretting over things you can't change? Whether you know this or not, preachers don't always have it made. If you have a conscience, or you care much, you always want everybody to like you. And my mama used to tell me, son, you're in the wrong business. Because if you're going to preach, not everybody's going to like you. Well, that don't make any difference. Mama, I don't like that. I want everybody to like me. Well, they're not going to do it. That doesn't matter. And sometimes we can be so affected by the feeling that somebody is not treating us right that we get selfish, we get hurt, we get angry, and we will say and do things we shouldn't. Sometimes, I know in my own life, I get too impressed with my own abilities. I want to get other people to do what they ought to do. To see them converted. To see them come to Christ. To see them live a good life. But sometimes I feel like I have to be the one to make that happen. You ever get too impressed with your own abilities? I say this morning from this standpoint. When you get my age, in some ways you're just fortunate to have anybody who's willing to listen to you. Congregations that are willing for you to preach. And that's a tragedy. Because those of us who've been at it for as many years as I have, we've learned a few things. We've learned a lot more about the Bible than young men. We've got more wisdom. We've got a lot of things that people need that a lot of people don't want. I'm blessed by you, by the opportunities the Lord's given me to do His will and to serve. The opportunity we're about to embark on to start a women's shelter. But I've got to tell you, lately I've been asking myself, Lord, is that what I want to do? I've already been down this road before. And there's a lot of heartaches, a lot of disappointments, a lot of things that keep you from sleeping good and playing all the golf you want to play. Lord, there's a lot of things about this I don't like. So today, what I'm saying to you is this. Last night, as I looked at what we were doing and thinking, I came to realize that I need to really have the Lord's complete forgiveness for a lot of things in my life that keep me from being everything He wants me to be. I need your help. I need your prayers. Because some of you know that you're going to have to listen to me for quite some time to come, I hope. And you want something, I say, to help you and bless you. To be the blessing that I can be to other people. I've got to be what God wants. And sometimes we get to thinking we're better than we are. And so, as we come to the close of these thoughts, I ask you, as my brethren, to forgive me for stumbling, falling, being weak, doing things I shouldn't, saying things that I shouldn't. Help me to have the faith the conviction, the love for the Lord and for you and for others that will make me a better example for the one I love with all my heart. If you're here today and you've never known the sweetest name on mortal tongue, you've never owned him and crowned him, I beg you, if you don't know him, find him. Fall in love with him. Come to obey him. Be his child. If you're here today as a Christian, you've lost your way. You're not where you want to be in your walk. I plead with you, beg you, give him control of your life. And he has promised, and his promises are sure. He'll bless you. He'll make you happier than you can imagine. And he'll give you a peace that truly is beyond understanding. If you need, like I, to respond to this, we'll ask you to do that as we stand and sing. And afterward, I'm going to ask my friend Lonzel if he will lead me in prayer, or lead us in prayer on my behalf. If you will, let's stand, folks.